Alright everyone, I'm Jason. Before we get started with this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield, I just want to take a moment here to do a comment about the closure of WizKids Games. The episode you're about to watch was filmed on Sunday, November 9th, 2008, which of course is one day before Topps, the parent company of WizKids, announced closure of studio operations. And ironically, the topic of the second half of the podcast was, well, which product lines do we expect to see survive the next year and which ones we don't? And of course, the closure of WizKids Games would affect our opinions in a lot of ways. But all serious notes, even though we gave WizKids a lot of crap over the past 2 years, kind of making fun of some of their games, their rules, their products, their figures, and a lot of that kind of stuff, the reality is when a large company like this closes down, it's never a good thing. And in all seriousness, we do wish the best of luck for WizKids employees to find either new jobs or get out there and start making new and better games. So as more information becomes available, we'll definitely let you know and pass it along to you. But for now, enjoy this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Hello, I'm Kyle.
I'm Owen.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And today, let's discuss the fate of the gaming industry in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com, which, of course, is a great site to store, manage, and share your miniature wargame army list with other online communities. So with that, we're going to talk about a little bit today about, I guess, the future of the game industry, sort of. Because obviously, if you ever watched the news recently, you know, the whole panic about the economic downturn, we're all screwed, we got a recession coming, you know, all the panic and
stuff.
Well,
we're already in the recession.
Well,
we ever left the last one?
I don't know. It's all a matter of opinion.
I mean, isn't the recession when it's multiple quarters in succession?
Yeah, the official definition is what? Two quarters downturn mm-hmm. is considered a recession. So whatever. I'm not a big economics guy, so I'm going to be asking more questions and probably answering. But there's been a lot of talk about some of the business models of the games, various games companies, what they've done recently, raising prices, trying to open stores, what games are going to keep, what games are going to cancel. And later we're going to get to our little discussion on what games are things are going to get cut next year?
Or what games they should cut.
Or what games they should cut. Well, I know what Kyle's thinking for that, but we'll get to that discussion a little bit later. So what I want to do first, I want to ask Kyle a few questions. Both of you guys have business experience of various degrees, so either you can really answer these if you want. But I just want to kind of bring everyone up to a few, kind of like the current level of, like, because a lot of the stuff you talk about in the news, they love talking about the stuff, but I think they don't do a very good job explaining what's really going on. Like, you've heard terminology like subprime mortgage, like, what's all that? What's that about? Just give a quick definition of that.
Subprime mortgage is based on credit ratings, 720 and above. You know, mm-hmm. obviously is prime. Mm-hmm. Then there's next level, which I don't know what it's actually mm-hmm. called, but yeah, it's in between subprime mm-hmm. and prime, which is the average level. That's like 620 to 720 because they're actually raising the minimal requirements. Okay. Anything mm-hmm. under 620 is considered subprime. And right now, nobody is dealing in subprime at all.
So basically, the mortgage is the people who have a relatively somewhat shaky credit history, per se, or not very much credit history, so they may not necessarily like repay the mortgage. Kind of a bit of a risk. Is that the idea?
Or? Pretty much, the higher the the lower, obviously, the credit rating, the mm-hmm. higher the risk. Therefore, the higher the interest rates they want to give, but since nobody would be able to pay those interest rates, mm-hmm. they're okay. not willing to give loans to those companies because they will default.
So the question is, like, this, a lot of people in the news have said there's too many subprime mortgages out there, and it all kind of collapsed in everybody. But I guess the question is, obviously, if you're running a business where you're handing out money, like a bank, you're lending out money, obviously you're planning for a certain amount of the mortgages to default that people aren't mm-hmm. going to pay back. So why were the bank companies giving so many of these mortgages out in the first place? So they knew that there was such a high risk to them. And
partially to do with actually outside investing. Okay. Mainly investors from, especially internationally, mm-hmm. banks and other financial firms were investing on the fact that the housing industry was just going completely up. Mm-hmm. We have computer actually analysis, which will automatically buy certain amount of sets mm-hmm. of groups of properties and mortgages based on certain trends. And that kept going up and up past the actual value of what they were worth.
Okay.
And, they give them same way with to people. And on a personal level, they would mm-hmm. give subprime stuff because, one, the people who were selling mortgages got the money. And so, we're looking at the short-term thing.
So the salesmen who were selling the mortgages to people were getting commission on the mortgage.
Oh, yes, and they were...
So they were incentive to sell.
And they were asked to actually give people higher than they were actually able to pay.
Okay. Okay, sounds... So...
I mean, if that makes sense.
So all these things kind of factored into it with, like, these terrible mortgages, all over, basically overinflated prices where things were a lot... Pretty much, they were evaluated to be in a lot higher value than what they really were. And now everyone's... Everything's falling apart because it's like the perfect storm all coming together. Everyone's tanking. Everyone's freaking out, basically.
That is pretty much what's going on, I would think. I mean, Owen...
That sounds about right.
So that's why the stock market's going all crazy, because people are like, yay, no, yay, ah, that kind of thing. Like, you know, one day they're all excited, like it's going back up, and they start panicking.
That pretty much reminds me of that Futurama episode where they go into old, like, recreation of old New York and Wall Street. And they had people jumping out of windows on the building when the stock markets would go down. They had jetpacks that would fly them back up to the windows when the stock market would go up.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I haven't coughed in a long time. Oh.
So, I mean, if anyone's seen that episode of Futurama, that's pretty much what...
I'm sure a lot of people probably have. So. Jetpacks going back up. So, anyway, I guess that would bring us a little summary of what's been going on. Kind of get an idea of why I guess we're in the mess... Well, supposedly the mess we're in. So I guess the other thing is the whole idea of the credit freeze. So obviously, if you can't, even businesses with somewhat good credit are having trouble getting loans. So how is it really going to affect, how does it affect, say, a small business if they're having trouble getting loans?
Oh, small businesses are the worst off of anybody. Banks do not have the money to give to any kind of risky investor. You know, they see small businesses as the first ones to go out, to go under, to default. They're not going to give small businesses any money at all. So pretty much it's really, really tough for any small business to gain any kind of, gain even legitimate or reasonable loan.
So this is kind of bad news for all the like small game stores around the country.
Incredibly bad news.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Because that's already a fairly low... A very kind of very difficult business to survive in. The vast majority of the stores around here in my lifetime all failed. I mean, there's they have a pretty high turnover rate. So, but anyway, let's talk a little bit about what some of the main companies have been up to, like Games Workshop, WizKids specifically, because I'm sure we'd have lots to talk about them. Like Privateer Press and also Rackham and all these various other companies. Like obviously, Games Workshop runs their whole line of stores. They have them across the country. I think they're probably worldwide. Yeah, they're definitely worldwide. Yeah,
worldwide.
No, yes, yeah. Worldwide. Because like earlier in the year, they were talking about opening like upwards of 80 new stores in 2009. They really want to expand this out.
Well, for them, I think this would be probably the perfect time for a big business like them to actually start expanding. When prices are low, you know...
Like retail, for leasing out the stores and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, retail leasing is extremely low. You know, most of the competition will be, hitting the bucket. And they will be the only ones in these areas, which means they can jack up prices, which means they will be able to...
Workshop jacks up prices even if they're not the only ones.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying they can even jack it up even more so.
Yay!
I'm not saying it's good for the consumer, but for as a business aspect, this is their time because they can muscle out competition.
Okay, so that's what you're saying, yeah. I mean, yeah, that I guess that kind of makes sense, but how is that... Bow then for the small, like, are all these small game stores just kind of screwed? Because obviously, we got a bit of an economic downturn here. People don't have as much money to spend on these games or any kind of, well, do you think people really stop spending money on the games? Or do you think they're more because it's made that big hobby for them? Will they keep spending some money on it?
Depends on the, I think, social culture. I mean, Owen has a little bit probably more on this.
For everything that I've been reading on recently, saving gaming, in general, is going to head up for an upswing. People don't have the disposable income to go out as much. Mm-hmm. So instead of a dinner and a movie, people are opting to stay home and play the video games.
Yeah,
play board games, play role-playing games. Even with video games increasing in price in the last few years to where it's $60 or higher for a new game release, they're selling out.
Yeah, I was just trying, because, they were recording this 2 days ago. Gears of War 2 just came out, which I did get. Awesome game. But I went around to a couple stores that are all sold out of the game, so...
Yeah. I sold out in 24 hours at my store.
Was it? Yeah, because I think I first hit up the Circuit City, so they had some kind of crazy promotion. That's why they're all gone. But yeah, I mean, I've heard that too, where, you know, video games are kind of somewhat of recession proof because the value per dollar of experience of the video game versus a movie is a lot higher. So I don't know. Let's kind of see what happens. What do you think about the miniature scene then? You think people are still going to spend as much on those, or
I believe it.
If the prices don't skyrocket to more than what people are willing to spend on discretionary income, miniature games have the inherent cost of the miniature, the paint, and room for storage, and then there's the cost of time for assembling and painting. Something as I get older, I find I have less and less time of.
I believe that will weed out the ones that are not as good. Is what's going to happen. The miniature games, which don't have as much traction, not as many people are getting into, are going to, you know, are being weeded out, because if they go up in the good games, people are going to focus on the good games, even if it, you know, means a higher cost. They're just going to not spend money on the other games, which they might have spent, you know, with a lower cost.
So I wonder if, like, with collectible miniatures games, or, like, say, HeroScape, where you got all the pre-painted, already ready-to-play-out-of-the-box stuff, do you think those would do better? Because, you know, you're saying how people might not necessarily have much time or with, you know, sitting down and painting the figures. Of course, you can make the argument if they've lost their job, they have plenty of time to sit down and paint figures.
There's no money to buy the figures.
Yeah. Of course, if you're like me, you've got several boxes of figures you haven't assembled in over a
year. And if you're Ryan, you have a few figures, plenty of time, but haven't assembled it.
Those two yogurt cups.
You have time. I know how much time you have.
Those two yogurt cups right there is Ryan's starter box for War Machine.
Which we bought for them.
He's yet to assemble, but.
And I do appreciate it.
And
I will do it eventually.
But, like, talk about price increases. Both Privateer Press and the War Machine line early in the year, and also Games Workshop, also announced they're going to have to raise prices again. So I guess we've seen a lot, I think specifically with miniatures games, the price of oil, which obviously is a direct factor in producing the plastic, has really skyrocketed. WizKids has talked a lot about that and why they've had to kind of scale back a little bit. Because, you know, when MechWarrior first came out, oil was dirt cheap. Back in 2001? Yeah, 2002 was MechWarrior.
2002 or 2003.
Okay, yeah. What were we paying for gasoline back then?
Like, we were paying $1?
$1.50?
$1.60? Yeah. So, we've seen
the price of oil go up. But right now, oil's not too much higher than it was back then, right now.
Yeah, this is just tanked. Like, as the economy goes down, oil kind of tanked, too.
Because nobody was willing to use oil.
But let's talk a little bit about, on the similar topic of, why did the figures cost so much to begin with? Like, right over there, I got a box of Tau Fire Warriors sitting right there. You want to put the thing in front of the camera? Yeah, right there. That's obviously, it's not full of the figures right now. It's got a bunch of stuff in it. But that box right there would be $35 for 12 figures, which, you know, Warhammer 40K figures with about 30mm scale. And actually, there's 14 figures in that box. Why is it $35 for 14 plastic figures? What do you guys think?
I could possibly explain
it. My first thought is you bought that on sale?
No. that was retail price. Well, that could have been a box that came. And I do get those in, you know.
Last I looked at Games Workshop prices, I quickly put them back because of the overinflated price tag.
Games Workshop does inflate their prices. I definitely deny that. I'm sure I know they do, but even then, you see it across the board. Privateer Presses they're fairly expensive for figures. I mean, Monster Apocalypse seems pretty expensive for its collectible.
Well, you have to assume the business aspect of this. What these figures are selling, this is what their business is. Mm. So they have to cover the cost not only of the designer of these figures, but also the cost of the box, the cost of the people internally accounting, the cost of the building, the cost of inventory, the cost of, you know,
all the research and developing.
Marketing. So, and the fact of the matter is, this is a specialized, very small, faction, of where, people are going to buy. They need to predict how much sales and how much they need to, put a price tag on to cover all these costs as part of, supply-demand kind of curves. So they see $35 as, where they're going to get the most people buying it for the certain amount of supply that they can, supply at.
I just wonder if there's a certain level Games Workshop prices will get to, and everyone's just like, screw you, and they all quit. But
well, there but is. You would have to graph that out, though. It takes some time, but you could actually do a lot of polling, you know, surveying, and actually figure out potentially what the actual prices of how many, you know, how much people are willing to spend, and actually graph that out.
I think that you can also consider the fact this is a niche market. There's a lot of fanboyism to, you know, Warhammer 40,000 rules or MechWarrior rules or War Machine's awesome. So, I mean, people are, there's more than supply and demand. The fact is, you know, there's a bit of aspect to it where people are such devoted to a brand, they'll be willing, you know, they'll be willing to even pay more than, say, it's a normal person who...
As I said, that's part of the supply and demand, though. Mm-hmm. That's still part of it. Maybe they'll have a certain higher, you know, levitated price than what, you know, normally be considered in a normal market goods. Mm-hmm. But there still is a certain amount of people willing to spend a certain amount of price at every point. So you can actually graph that out. I mean, obviously, I don't have the time or money or resources to do this. Maybe Owen does, but I definitely don't. So we're going to just have to leave it at that.
Okay, well, anyway, do you have anything else to add to that? Sound good to you?
Sounds about right.
So let's talk a little about what some of the companies have said recently. Like, say, WizKids, for example, recently... I think the past month or so, put out a press release talking about what's going to happen in 2009. And they specifically mentioned the kind of, I believe the words they used were unstable economic times. They didn't want to, you know, jump to too terribly panic. But basically they mentioned they're going to not expand a new product line. So we're not going to see any new games from them in 2009. They're going to focus on HeroClix, Star Wars Pocket Model, and the Pirates game, which obviously, I think... That's obviously a pretty solid decision from their point, because obviously developing new games is not only takes a long time, but it is very expensive. And, you know,
no,
in the case of WizKids, there's a very high risk. That's the reason I rag them in this case, because, you know, WizKids has seen a lot of their games fail.
A lot.
They have a huge percentage.
It's something ridiculous. So, I mean, I don't know if it's, we can discuss why that happens another day, but for, I guess, a company, especially like WizKids, they can put a lot of money into them, but there's a lot of those games just never go anywhere, and that's a huge money sink, you know, if you're in a tight situation. So, sounds like a solid business strategy, I guess, to focus on your core products.
Well, that would be probably the best strategy, I mean, for any company. I would say with WizKids, they really have gotten rid of, you know, one that was performing well, and MechWarrior. That, yes.
Well, MechWarrior wasn't performing all that well recently. It was.
It was until they screwed,
a lot of
they ruined it.
It wasn't performing well enough to cover production,
mm-hmm. yeah.
marketing, the employees, every employee that mm-hmm. was associated with it with all let go. There's just other costs involved than just... Is it selling well or selling not? Or do the fans are the fans there to support it?
So it's probably their, you know, partially how much they are actually paying their employees, you know,
there's a lot of things you factor where they, you know.
And probably how many mistakes were made in designing and crappy...
focusing on your core
Leave
games...
Leave your rage intact right now. Okay, go ahead.
I don't have rage here.
Focusing on your core games is just another... phrase that I hear it for. Look, we're streamlining our employees, we're cutting costs, and we just don't mm-hmm. have the manpower to do these other things anymore.
No.
So everything else is going to be put on hold.
So Star Wars Pocket Models is actually doing well?
I guess so.
If you paid so much for the licensing, I'm sure anything with the Star Wars name in it is not cheap. If you paid so much for the licensing, you have to make so many sets.
Mm-hmm.
In order to recoup your
cost.
Cost.
That's true.
Could have been in contract that they keep
have
the game
to.
And they have to make mm-hmm. so many sets. So they might be just forced to do the Star Wars.
Because after we played that, I was horrifically disturbed by it and wanted to go outside and...
we're not here to rag on WizKids games right now.
I'm not ragging on WizKids games. I'm ragging on... this particular WizKids game.
But it could be like you're saying where they have to make so many sets, because, you know, they've cranked out the original set, then they had one for the Force Unleashed, they had the Ground Assault, they have now ones they're out for the new... What's the animated thing called? Clone Wars. They have a set out for the Clone Wars, so maybe, you know... But also, in the case of both Star Wars Pocket Model and Pirates, those are relatively cheap games to produce, because they're just those little styrene things.
Yep.
There's artistic... Well, even artistic design for Star Wars, a lot of that probably comes right from the movie, so it's not a... That's reduced a little bit. But all like you just print these things out, have a little laser cutter, I assume, machine that goes around and cuts them out a little bit, and then you assemble them. There's no, you know, giant factory of people who have to work in toxic environments, painting figures and stuff. So you cut out that whole thing. There's not nearly as much material.
It does minimize its costs greatly. I'll agree. And packaging is minimum, along with the storage.
Just your typical booster.
Less than the more you can ship out for the same amount of money.
Yeah,
and the lower the inventory you actually have.
Everything's streamlined.
Yeah, that is true.
It's cheaper for the consumer. It's like $5 for a pack of those versus, you know, 10 or 15. So they're gonna ask people who are more likely to just walk up. Oh, $5. We'll try it out. So. It'd be nice if they, it'd be nice if they got some other more branch out a little bit. Like, you know, there's talk about, or rumors about a Star Trek game but...
There was rumors, but I never heard anything past the rumor.
That's another huge license thing, though. I bet Star Trek's got to cost some money to get a license for that, so... But...
It does, but Star Trek does have a history of dealing with the gaming public.
Do they?
From miniature games and tabletop games with Starfleet battles to role-playing games. Star Trek was the one that went up to Wizards of the Coast and said, look, you're doing nothing with our license for the gaming community. We're going to pull your license from you.
So Wizards of the Coast had Star Trek for a while?
Wizards of the Coast had bought the company that had the rights to Star Trek role-playing game. They then fired everybody. And sat on the license.
Sounds like a typical takeover.
Paramount said, we don't like that idea. You're not just going to have our license and do nothing with it. The license is going to be put out and going to be available for people. So they pulled the license from Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, speaking of how the collectible miniature games are kind of a little rocky, you guys see the announcement about the Dungeons & Dragons miniatures? How they're...
I did read the announcement, but...
Retooling?
But it... I haven't seen anyone actually play the D&D miniatures game in so long.
Yeah.
But as far as I knew, everyone was buying it just to play for as a pre-painted role-playing figures. Mm-hmm. And there's been many a times I thought about doing the same thing. If I would have had the space to store the game, I would have picked a bunch up for my games at home.
Which I guess if you guys don't know what we're talking about, obviously Wizards of the Coast, who makes Dungeons & Dragons, along with the Dungeons & Dragons miniatures line, They had its own little standalone skirmish game that was, I believe, I never played it, but I believe it played similar to the Star Wars miniatures game.
I believe it did.
It's like a D20 combat system. Yeah. It was collectible miniatures, and it's been around for a couple of years, but recently in the past month or so, they basically announced, it's not selling well, you know, gameplay's dropped off quite a bit. So the words are like you're going to retool the line or something like that to make it more RPG-focused, because like, the same, most people just bought them. To use them in playing actual Dungeons & Dragons games. So, but I'm looking here to see if there's any information about that, but... So what else we got here? So let's say you run a local game store. How can you really survive this thing? If you're going to see drop off in income, if you're going to see, say, a situation where you can't maybe get a loan to keep your business going for a few months while things turn around, and the fact is also local game stores, you're competing with the internet now. And you can get stuff a lot cheaper in the internet than you often can in stores. I mean, literally, you get 20-30% cheaper. It's no secret. So you've really got to fight.
A lot of times I find that 20-30% is all eaten up in shipping costs anyways.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yes, I can have the book in 2 days, but I'm going to be paying just as much for it to have it shipped to my home than going down to my local game store. Now, if you're somewhere that doesn't have a local game store, I see that as a wonderful, viable option. For me, I love going into my local game store. I love interacting with the employees. Even better, if I can find someone else that shares the same interest of a game or two, you've made friends, you're networking with people, you actually have someone to play the game with. Heaven forbid you meet someone and get invited to appear on the internet.
I think the best way to go about that would be some kind of promotional event, of some kind where you can actually bring together people of the same interest, where you can actually start getting, you know, new people in, you know, to start talking, where they will actually start coming into the store. You know, once you get into the store, they're going to see figures, they're going to buy it. So it's, you know...
It doesn't always have to be figures, as long as they know something. Where you are and what you have and that they can come to you and get those, then I think a game store could survive. Like National Game Day, if somehow a store could get involved with that, with a church or a school, just to get people in, or just to share their games with a community event, that will go a long way to helping them make money tomorrow.
Yeah, but in this case, the unfortunate thing is tomorrow is really not a promise to anyone.
No, tomorrow isn't a promise to anyone.
I didn't turn my set lights on. Dang it. Oh, well, we're fine.
You know, I was wondering about that. I'm like, did he want to turn those on? Or?
Sorry, keep talking. I distract everyone again. I want to turn them on. But
so, you know, as much as you're focusing on tomorrow, you need to focus on...
You need to pay attention to today.
Exactly.
Or if you don't make the money today, you won't be there tomorrow.
Exactly.
And that's a big problem with a lot of stores. I drove by a lot of strip malls on the way to get here today, and there's a lot of vacant homes.
Oh, yeah.
There's some depressing spots you could be at. Like, oh, no, it's... there's some, you know, some malls where half the stores are empty.
Oh,
I mean, it's...
And again, this is Michigan. It's always crazy.
Well, yeah, but the rest of the country is now starting to follow suit.
Yeah.
You're not really going to go anywhere. I mean, except for maybe Texas. Where they're
maybe Texas.
I'm hearing a lot of people moving back to Michigan from Texas.
Oh, well, even Texas is hurting now.
Did you just pick Texas at random?
No, that's where a lot of people were going for a while now.
Yeah, for a
while. Started hitting the dang thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hurricane.
I forgot about the hurricane. I'm sorry.
But I'm going to say, like, one thing I say is a friendly staff is really helpful. The fact that it really likes their job, I mean,
that's knowledgeable.
If you could hate Games Workshop, but at least in the local stores around here, they have a really nice staff. They're really nice guys that work there. So I mean, they love their games. I mean, they're very friendly. So that's really helpful when you try to walk in a store and they always greet you. They're always being really nice to you. So that's a huge thing. Don't treat your customers like dirt, especially right now. Granted, the corporation might do it, but the local employees are pretty nice about it.
Yeah, the corporation can survive, but while treating people like crap, the employees. Small companies cannot.
But also, like, this would be a good time for the main game manufacturers, like, say, WizKids and Privateer Press specifically, because Games Workshop runs their own stores, to really step up and now do some really cool prize support events to get people in playing these games. You know, have some really cool all-day War Machine event that has, like, some mega story to tell about the game. Right? Especially to say, let's say, some of these games that are having trouble, like Heroescape, that may have a bit of a rocky future as it's not very well distributed right now. Get them in there and have the company run a huge, massive tournament to get people in and get people into the back into it. So,
because once people have an emotional investment, then they're willing to spend a little bit more money to stay invested in it.
Because when I was at the Monster Apocalypse tournament, I was talking to the store owner there. I was asked, "Do you ever run Heroescape events?" And she was like, "When are you going to run one?" I'm like, "Okay." And so they obviously don't have. There's no right now. There really isn't much of a supported event for Heroescape. So, it's what you gotta do. Get people in these stores and have a heck of a time playing the games, I think. But
well, that could be one way. I mean, I can't really see too much of any other ways unless I actually look into these stores. But
these stores. Go in, peer through the window. Let's see.
That's pretty much what you have to do.
Here, let's observe these guys.
Well, pretty much that's what you actually have to do to find out what people want. I mean, oftentimes, people, will tell the truth, but there are some cases where people just don't know what they want, and they'll say they'll want something, but actually act in a opposite manner.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually have to actually observe people and see what they want, what they're willing to pay for it, and, how you can go about, getting what they want for, that kind of price.
All right, that sounds good, but let's move on to the next topic here. So
we actually have another topic.
So remember, this is going to be cut out and put in another part of the show. Therefore, I was trying to do the segue to the other part of the show we already recorded. Thank you, Kyle.
Fun time editing this.
Thank you, Kyle.
We should move on to the next topic.
Who's going
to
die?
Yeah, let's talk about who's going to die.
Who's going to die? I like that idea. Oh yeah, what I got a list here is I wrote down basically all the major games we talk about on the show or have mentioned in the show. And basically, what do I think the future is going to be for them? So, first off, we got the three Games Workshop properties, Warhammer 40K, Warhammer Fantasy, and Lord of the Rings. Does anybody expect either 40K or Fantasy to ever go away anytime soon without Games Workshop dying?
No.
No.
they're their core lines. They're going to fight those at the end.
On different gaming, non-affiliated gaming sites, I am seeing more of the Battlefleet Gothic miniatures starting to pop back up again, and people saying how much they enjoyed that game.
Mm-hmm.
So we might see a resurgence of that in the next year, but I will... As much as I don't like Games Workshop, their 40K and their Fantasy will never go away.
Yeah, they're the solid lines. I mean, it's most of their
Everything is intact. Yeah. So there's not too much actually wrong with the actual gameplay.
Then you got Lord of the Rings. This has always been kind of the wild card situation of...
Are they still making it with nothing being produced for the movies? Or are they going to continue it with The Hobbit coming out?
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, when's The Hobbit coming out?
Hobbit's coming out somewhere around 2011.
Oh, so it won't be for a while, then.
It'll be a few years.
I don't know. They had a set earlier, or like, was
that's
it
still
really
many
last
years
year?
Of teasers and trailers on the Hobbit's website.
They might just put that on hold then, and, you know, since with costs up anyways, just put it on hold, you know, see how things go. Because
there's been some backlash from diehard 40K and fantasy players about the Lord of the Rings game, the fact that it is their least popular line. They'd like to see the money for the Lord of the Rings be more devoted to 40K and fantasy to can prove those, because inevitably, you know, they're always going up and down in terms of their popularity, and sometimes they have their problems, sometimes they don't, so... If any of the three games are going to be canceled, Lord of the Rings would be the first one. But I'd imagine they want to try to hold on to it, and Orion's like over here, boo. But yeah, they probably want to hold on to that, though, until The Hobbit comes out. At least
they will
still
stop
have it available.
Yeah, they'll probably stop production, but I would assume...
But I wouldn't see them wasting a lot of money in between now and 2011.
No.
And it's not a bad game. You ever played the Lord of the Rings game?
I have not.
It was okay. It had some...
It's all right. It's
Some things were good, and I tend not to like as much as other games.
Because it's a completely different game than either 40K or Fantasy. It's a lot simpler of a game. It's not as... There's 15 codexes you got to buy, everything. The figures are actually relatively cheap. That's the irony of it. It's significantly cheap for Games Workshop product, except for some of the hero figures are expensive. But like, the basic troops cost like $1 per figure versus three or four for like 40K or Fantasy. But let's see. We'll move on. HeroClix. This is obviously WizKids. This is their mainstay line at this point. They've already announced a set for 2009. Does anyone really expect that?
I wouldn't expect it to go. There's
it's their best line.
That's the only thing that's saving them.
It's their big core line, and it's also a huge intellectual property licensing. They don't want to give that up.
So yeah,
they have a lot of fans for it. I would fight tooth and nail if I was them to keep it going.
Have you played HeroClix?
Once again, another game I have not played.
Neither have we.
Without HeroClix, though, they'd be under. They really would be.
Because it's the last of the three original lines, being obviously Mage Knight, HeroClix, and MechWarrior, were the three that, within the first couple of years, they launched the company, and obviously Mage Knight and MechWarrior have dropped off. Which, yeah, sorry guys, MechWarrior is just done for a while.
Yeah,
if you haven't heard the news yet.
That's pretty much, yeah, it's done.
Non-company supported.
Yeah, so like come 2009, the summer 2009, they're releasing the next set of HeroClix. So they're still making stuff for it. So I think it'll probably be around until the company's dead. Like,
until the company goes under, yeah. It's going to be around to the very bitter end.
So what have we got here? What's next in the list? HeroScape. Uh-oh.
I'm hearing things back and forth on the internet.
I don't know if this game's going to make it, honestly. It's a fantastic game. Ryan is so disappointed. The thing is, though, it was a mainstream line. You could walk into Target, you could walk into Toys R Us, you could walk into Walmart and buy it.
You still can. Really?
There may still be stock left, but all three of those companies have dropped selling it. You can only get it through game stores now.
Production issues, because there's been a few internet companies that deal with selling expansion packs or just selling... terrain pieces.
Yeah.
And they said they're having production issues on Hasbro's end of getting them supply. So as long as they get supply, they would sell it. But they weren't sure how long that's going to stay on.
Because Hasbro doesn't manage it anymore. It's transferred over to Avalon Hill or Wizards of the Coast, one of the other, you know, the other companies.
All the same company.
Yeah, all the same company. But it's not under the Hasbro brand anymore. But yeah, so like I've only seen it in one game store, and that was an hour away. I drove to play some Monster Apocalypse things. I mean... I've been trying to find the new pieces, but I just can't find them anywhere around here. I mean, you can get them off the internet, Amazon.com or whatever, but it's
Mouse House.
Yeah, someplace.
So. That's an iffy one. I wouldn't expect to see that around much longer.
It's unfortunate, because there's... Let me see if there's any... I'll look up here if any announcements of new releases.
Poor Ryan.
I know, Ryan loves that game. It is a good game. It's a lot of fun to play.
He's about to cry, it looks like.
What's Star Wars Miniatures? Is that even still going? Yeah, it's still going, isn't it? Still being produced?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure. It must be. I still see that.
Yeah,
one
I still
at
see the stores. Yeah. So I mean, I guess it's still being.
As long
produced,
as the movies are still popular with it, I can see the the game's still going around.
Yeah, it's never a huge... I was never a huge fan of the game, per se, but... If... Another thing that makes me wonder, if Dungeons & Dragons miniatures, which obviously same company, is having trouble, it'd be interesting to see if... Do you see people play it a lot? I haven't seen it played a whole lot recently, but...
I haven't seen a whole lot of play on it either.
I don't know, that's maybe. But do people use that for the role-playing game like they do for Dungeons & Dragons?
No.
Do you know? No? Okay.
No.
Okay. So I never played a Star Wars role-playing game. All right, next one. Pirates of the Spanish Main, or whatever it's called now. The Pirate, WizKids, Collectible Strategy, whatever. The Pirates game. I think that'll probably be around. I don't see that going anywhere. It's their own license.
They have expansions planned.
They still come out every now and then. I see them in the stores every now and then.
I don't see how it's making money.
Really?
I don't see anyone playing it. I don't see anyone buying it. I don't see anyone doing anything.
You know my view on this game.
Well, yeah. Amazingly enough, I was able to sell my entire collection overseas. So there are people that are playing it. I don't see them.
The reason I said there has to be somebody playing it somewhere, because this is not... Except for the little bit they did for, what's the Pirates of the Caribbean? They had a Pirates of the Caribbean version of it. But yes. Other than that, it's totally their own intellectual property. It's not licensed. So there's no, reason for them to hold on to it. I mean, because we've seen, if it was not at least with profit, we've seen WizKids cut games a lot faster before. Like, Crimson Skies got cut. The Rocketman X is evil. Major League Sports Clicks, that game is awful. Race Day. So, I mean, they've cut games like crazy. So this has still got it. Someone's still got to be playing this game.
Could be some kind of internal, business politics.
There's some guy.
Could be.
Pirates must survive. Pirates must survive. We're going down with the ship, literally.
The captain must go down with the ship.
Yeah, I don't know, but.
That's my pirate. You took my pirate.
I was never a big fan of the game, but I guess people like it.
No, neither was I. So, I don't know.
AT43. This is obviously by Racket Miniatures. They're a French company. They make also Confrontation. This is basically their rival to Warhammer 40,000, except that it's a pre-painted plastic miniature game. It's not collectible, but, you buy the stuff in sets, but it still costs about the same as 40K. It's not a whole lot cheaper. I mean, I don't know around here. I've never even seen anyone play it around here. But, I mean, it does have a huge following. It's just, just around here, it's dead. So, there's people who absolutely love it.
I'm going to assume it's the price point. I've looked at them. Mm-hmm. There are some gorgeous figures.
Yeah.
And I thought... This might be something to get into until you look at the price tag and you said, well, I'll be the only one doing it because I don't know of anyone else that can afford it.
Yeah, I don't know, because I think it's a lot of people who defected from Games Workshop and didn't go to Privateer Press went to these guys, because they're kind of like the anti-Games Workshop in a lot of ways. So, because even Rackham has been having, I believe they've been having some kind of financial troubles recently, at least in the past year. There's some guy was rumored that the Games Workshop's going to buy him, but... That's just some rumor some guy posted in a forum, so I don't think that's even remotely accurate. But, it'd be nice to see that game. I just want to kind of see somebody around here take on Games Workshop, because there's a huge influx of Games Workshop around here, and there's not a whole lot of people left to stand against them.
So they're becoming the Walmart of miniature games.
They really are.
For as long as they've been around, there's always been a company that had something Warhammer or Games Workshop-like.
Yeah.
And it would show... Some promise, but it wouldn't happen. And there's always another Warhammer-like clone to step up next to it.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Then we get to Confrontation, Rackham's other game, which we reviewed earlier in the year. Did you play that one at all?
It has been hard to find that one.
Because I remember when I went to the store to pre-order, the guy's like, what game are you talking about? I'm like, this new game that's being distributed by Fantasy Flight. Because it's Spy Rackham, but it originally was being distributed by Fantasy Flight. I was talking about that. But it's kind of the same idea where AT-43 was a take on War Machine. This is kind of take on Warhammer AT-43 take on Warhammer 40K. This was designed to take on kind of Warhammer Fantasy and War Machine. And the problem with it, the starter set was awful. It had 14 figures in it. The gameplay, it could have been an awesome game, but it's the price point. It was so expensive to buy a large army, and the starter set had so few figures. It was just a terrible experience. I didn't want to pay any more for it, so.
I don't remember this game.
Yeah, sure you do. You had the little wolf guys, the little human guys with the spears.
Oh, okay.
And it had the little staircase
That's
in the middle.
That's correct, yeah.
And had the fold-out map.
Didn't I complain about this game?
Yeah, you described the map as being, drawn by 4-year-olds or something.
Yeah, that's right.
If the game's so you can't remember about it. It's going to speak for right there. It's not going to be around much.
It wasn't anything fancy. It was just... This is like the fourth edition of the game. So it's been around for a few years, but this is a radical shift in the game. I think the fact this is more popular over in Europe and, like, just because of the fact that it is a European...
It'll be kind of, a, like, specialized cultural kind of game.
It's, you know, yeah, it's just kind of like it's what they like. You know, there's different things that are different popular in different parts of the world. Like the Xbox, not very popular in Japan. We're over here, it's huge. So, you know, it's one of those kind of things. So, I don't know.
Well, just because it's also the, like, anti-Christ to their PS3.
Oh, the Xbox? I was like, wait, where are you going with that line?
No.
And, well, Nintendo's the one who's really doing good over there now.
Oh, yeah,
but Nintendo's doing awesome everywhere. But
yeah.
So let's get to the other company that's always been sticking its middle finger up at Games Workshop. It's Privateer Press with War Machine, which, you know, was obviously built to take them on directly. If you have the original rule book, which is probably not sitting around here, their tagline was making fun of Games Workshop bad. So, I mean, I think that game is probably, that's solid.
They're going to keep it until the day they die.
Yeah, and that's their little baby, like just like 40K or Fantasy.
I go into local stores and I see their section on that stuff growing.
Yeah.
The interest may wane a little bit. I might not see as many people play it, but then it spikes right back up again.
Mm. It's going to be a solid line to come. I don't see them getting rid of that anytime soon. That's
Oh, no. Definitely not.
It's an awesome game, too. It's a lot
of fun. Oh, no. That's why I got started, because of you.
And then we get to their other game, Monsterpocalypse. Just released in the past month. Fantastic little game. I had fun. I went to play a tournament of it in the past 2 weeks ago. I had fun playing it. So it's a collectible miniatures game. Have you seen that game yet?
I have not seen it. I've been reading a lot about it on the internet.
Can you grab the case there, Kyle? The little metal case?
Oh, it's in the...
camera on it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a neat little game.
I'm hearing either stores have a little of it and have sold out, and a little of it and it doesn't do anything, or stores are doing phenomenally well with it.
So, I mean, it's very stereotypical, very goofy, fun little game to play, but... Yeah, they've announced that their initial run of starter sets was sold out in the channel, which essentially means that the stores themselves can't purchase anything more. You may still find a retail store, so it's off to a good start. There's no doubt it's off to a good start. The question is...
I'm seeing a lot of them already on secondary markets.
Yeah.
They might have promo figures fetching a good dollar amount.
Oh, yeah. There's one figure. Who is it? One of the... You know, it's one of the super elite prizes who is, like, going for a couple hundred dollars.
Wow.
The Planet Eater, Gungagra, or something like that. Let me get a Planet Eater. But yeah. So, I mean, I think it's off to a good start. And they already announced they're working on a second set called, like, I Chomp New York, where it's going to be all about the monsters blowing up New York City. So they're going to have, like, iconic buildings.
And so they're each going to have, like, different cities eventually? Is that what the plan is?
So they've already got the next two expansions planned out for it, and they're working on them in development right now. So if they have any plans to cancel this game, they're going to be throwing away a lot of money they've already haven't spent. So I think we're going to see it around at least through a year to have them finish out the two expansions they're working on right now.
I believe they're going to.
I see it only catching steam from this point on.
It's a fun game to play. I mean, you throw people around, smash things up.
Exactly.
Right now it's $80 the figure it's going for. So, okay, maybe not a couple hundred dollars, but around $100. So anyway... Then we got the other newcomers. The one that at the time of the recording is not out yet, it'll be out in 2 days, is World of Warcraft Miniatures, obviously based on the hugely successful online game. This is being made by Upper Deck, and who is obviously traditionally a card manufacturer. They made the World of Warcraft card games, they have tons of baseball cards, all that kind of stuff. I think this is their first entrance into the world of miniatures, though. I don't think they've had anything else. I'm trying to think.
Not their first entry into games, but I believe you're right with their first entry into miniatures.
So this is going to be interesting to see, because obviously these games have always been in development for a long time, like Monsterpocalypse, everything development for
takes years.
So the fact that they're coming out now with everything kind of going downhill with the economy is really more of an unfortunate timing than anything they could have ever really planned for. So it'll really be interesting to see how well this game does when it's launched.
The game's going to get launched. There's the new expansion for World of Warcraft that goes on sale this week.
Wrath of the Lich King? Is that what it is? Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Yeah, but yeah, so I think this is one where they could really do some good promotion. Like, we were talking about this with Dave when he called in the show, where if they really want this game to succeed, you know, give people who buy, say, this expansion, give them maybe like a even like a mill and a free figure, something to get them interested
kind
in the game.
Like how the MechWarrior figure was a promotional mm-hmm. one when you bought a certain game.
Yeah, yep. So, it's, I mean, it really, because I think it's, they're kind of second in line with Monster Apocalypse, and the fact that they're kind of the newer company to miniatures, per se.
Yeah.
They're going to have a more uphill fight than Privateer Press was. Privateer Press or Warhammer, or not Warhammer, Games Workshop just announced, we got this new game coming out, or WizKids did it, there's going to be immediate buzz about it. So I think they got a little bit of an uphill battle to fight here. So they really got to get their act together, because
first
not
impressions
all these games
are going to
survive.
Is going to be the biggest key here. If there's any major flaws with this game, it can go under really quickly.
Which I will say, we will be doing a review of this game probably early next year once it gets some of the figures in hand and we have time to play it. But this will be a game we'll review in the show. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like, they're going to fight an uphill battle. But I think, I don't know, I haven't played it yet, so we'll see how it goes. But I'd say this would be one that could get axed. Just the fact that it is a new game. It may not make it very far. It's this.
A new company is entering the miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not actually have the right format and how to approach it.
You always make mistakes when you go in a new area, and this is not a time you want to make mistakes right now.
No.
So, we'll see what happens. Okay. Last game on the list, Mutant Chronicles. This is by Fantasy Flight Games. It's Fantasy Flight's first real miniatures game. And they've obviously made board games with all sorts of cool figures, but they're really more of a standalone board game. This is really more miniatures focus. They're going to have different, all sorts of different expansions and things. It's been out for a while.
Are you going to see the light? Or it has been out already.
It has been out for a while. It came out a couple of months ago, actually. I tried to find it. I wasn't very successful with it.
It did have, the release date kept getting pushed back further and further. Mm-hmm. Even someone like me who was waiting for the game to come out, I heard it was going to come out and I didn't know it was already been out.
I think it's been out. I think so. I'm out. Here.
It could have been. It's very easy. The release date went by me, and I stopped paying attention or stopped caring about it.
That's kind
of
like
that's
me.
Part I mean, of the problem.
This is based obviously on an old, really old games series from old role playing game. There's also a board game called Siege of Citadel
from Heartbreaker Hobbies and Target Games.
Sure, well, I don't remember who made it. But yeah. I was excited just the fact that I had the old board game. I love the universe a little. The Ezequiel figure is really cool. So I was hoping when it came out, but you know, I kind of looked for it a little bit. And like,
there's also, I believe, supposed to be a movie on it.
There is, right here. MonsterChroniclesTheMovie.com.
Is it actually coming out?
I think it's out. I'm sure it's on some...
Once again. I've been waiting for so long, I missed it.
We just don't care anymore. Yeah, there's a trailer for it. Home, filmmaker, yeah. Enough of your fancy Flash stuff. But yeah, so it's...
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah. I mean, the one big thing about this game, though, is prior to its release, it was going to be a collectible miniatures game. But Fantasy Flight's very late in the development. Let's get off this thing so you don't hear that in the background. Very late in development said, okay, we're axed this. We're going with prepackaged miniatures. And they actually redid their entire line to drop a collectible miniatures thing because so many people complained about it. So I wonder if that was a good move or...
I think it would be a good move. When I first heard it was going to be a collectible miniatures game, it instantly prevented me from getting into it. I remember playing the old original miniatures game, and there were factions or corporations or sides I didn't want. I wasn't interested in them. I didn't want to play them. I just wanted to play these three.
Yeah.
And if I have to collect all 9, 10, or however many there are, I'm not going to be interested in it. I don't have the spare capital anymore.
And now is not the time for the economic downturn to really require a game where you got to buy a lot of stuff to get really what you want.
So if I can get into it with a minimal investment, and I can get what I want, and I can get some people interested in it, and they can get in under minimal investment, and we play it and we have fun with it, then after we see we're having fun with it, we'll go and spend more money on it.
And maybe on the other factions.
I think that's a wise move on their part to make it non-collectible.
Let's see if I dig up. Here it is. It looks to be probably about $30 box set.
$30 box set isn't a bad price. I look at board games that I want to pick up, and I have to spend $50, $60. I reevaluate my budget a little.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah?
Let you know you got 15 minutes left to take.
Okay, cool. So we can finish up here in a little bit.
Lots of time left.
Lots of time to talk about something. The other thing, now I forgot what it was. I was ready to go, and he, 15 minutes of tape. Brain freeze.
You were going to say, was it released, or?
You know,
we're
Ryan.
I'm
working
on that right now.
You guys know, and then when I do, you guys yell at me. I'm feeling no love here.
Because 54 mega.
Should you feel love?
It's 2-player starter pack.
Okay, then there shouldn't be any complaints.
It's on eBay. I don't know. It looks to be. Yeah, it's on eBay, so it's got to. Someone's got to have the figures in their hand. Here's. Wait, what is that? Oh, I think that's the original game. Never mind.
So maybe
Where I sell all my old original stuff.
Hey, it's here they are.
I ship that out overseas all the time.
There it is. That's some of the new things. So they're on eBay, it looks like, unless it's a free sale. They do that every now and then. Buy now, buy in confidence, yada, yada, yada. Don't. I mean, I guess it's out there. So I don't know. We'll see what happens to it. It's the fact that the new game may be a situation where it may get. Doesn't necessarily get looked exceptionally good for it, but we'll see what happens to it. I wanted to review this game early in the year, but like I said, I couldn't find it, so it's kind of like, I don't know. All right, well, thanks for watching. I got an email here from Dave Russell over at MechSiege.com. Was obviously trying to keep MechWarrior going over on the west side of Michigan. He's got some information about like some of the kind of games and special rules they're going to be running with, so we'll be talking to him, I'm sure, in the future to get more details about that, but that project's still coming along pretty good. Other than that, I have no other emails to talk about. So, I guess any questions or comments, send them to the show at jason@rocklessoftware.com. That's rocklessoftware.com. I don't know why I was counting out my hands, but it was. And for me, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/TT_battlefield. Ryan?
RManMan4.
You got to shout it, but that's all right.
RManMan4! You happy?
Yes. Okay, awesome. So.
And you can email me at kyle@rocklessoftware.com. That's kyle@rocklessoftware.com.
spell the easy part, don't spell the hard part. That's how we do it here.
Yeah, of course. Make people work for it.
And to show you how worthless that email address really is, I'm going to check it right now.
Mine? Yeah. I haven't changed my access password either.
All the questions, I remember what it is.
I know.
No, dang it.
Denied.
Okay, let me try one more time.
I haven't checked in about a month, I think, maybe more.
Hacking at work.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Let's see. So let's try this one. I think this is what it was.
It's still the ritual.
Oh, yeah, I got it. I'm in.
Okay. Does he have new mail?
No!
Does he have mail?
It wasn't the right password. I got rejected.
Rejected.
But don't make me go. Okay, well, I'll go log in. Since I run the site, I can change this password whenever I want. So I'll do that and check in on later. So next show, we'll see what happens.
Why would you change my password? I mean, really. I mean.
Don't send him private emails.
Yes.
Don't worry. Nobody does.
This is why I don't give them my email.
Well, I never gave Ryan an email.
You
know.
I want an email.
Okay.
Mine with the Twitter.
Okay, sounds good. So let's just sign off then. So,
and once again, I'm Kyle.
I'm Owen.
And I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. We'll see you guys again in 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007-2008 Rocko Software, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music down with everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podtapeaudio.com and is used in their Creative Commons license.